And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
If you're having a meeting and you're not providing snacks, I'm out on
Agreed.
It.
Agreed. Bagels, some schmears.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Now you got stomach cancer because you ate an Oreo.
Ring
the alarm. What do they call? What are the people called? The alarmist?
Right. It's called psychosomatic.
But the alarmist gets you to think like, oh, damn, if I have one Oreo, that's it. Yeah. I'm gone in a week.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
So I don't know. I'm just, it's like every time I bring up Johnny and Dayton, Courtney's always like moving
She's
on.
She's cap.
Yeah.
She is cap.
So that, I told her.
That's not what that means. So that doesn't make any sense.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shimey. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
No, I would love it if I always didn't have to be the bread eater, a breadwinner in the relationship.
It's like you're always the bread eater.
Carb face.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of...
You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right. Gonna say good morning and happy Patriots Monday, but there is not much good or happy about it. We're at Gillette Stadium. Mm-hmm. The Patriots lose bigly, Curtis, 30-13 to the 49ers, and I am at a loss for why Jerod Mayo will probably come on this show at 9:30 this morning and tell us that Jacoby Brissett is still your starting quarterback.
The best part about the game was it was great background noise for people to fall asleep to. New England, I could hear everybody snoring. It was sad to watch.
Yeah.
There wasn't a part, start to finish, that I was like, here's a little bit of hope. Zero. Yeah,
no.
There was none at all.
No, there was.
I don't think I've ever had that experience where I was legitimately offended by what I saw. Where you have the fumble, the pick six, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, this was all known to Robert Kraft. Everybody looked at this offensive line and said, if they lose Andrews, they're already cooked.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries are not unexpected on the offensive line. It's just how bad are you going to get hit? Every year, every team suffers 1 to 2 catastrophic injuries among the 5 offensive linemen. And you watch that, and Robert Kraft has the audacity to be bitching to people about getting into the Hall of Fame 4 straight years, 1-3. One common denominator, the owner, and cheaping out on this team. There's no other reason way to describe it. They elected to force their fan base to watch that product yesterday, and it is pathetic. It is so pathetic. Look at all the teams that have rebuilt once or twice in the last 5 years.
It is. You talk about the pick six.
Uh-huh.
That is, from a veteran quarterback, unacceptable. Not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. Ramondre Stevenson with another fumble.
Yet again.
That's 4 in 4 games. That is unacceptable.
Right.
It is. And you're right, Curtis. There's some dereliction of duty there when you lose Trent Brown and you don't do anything really to replace him or care about what your offensive line is going to look like. And how do you expect going into the season with Jacoby Brissett that you're not going to need to have an extraordinary offensive line in some way, shape, or form.
And even without watching our game, watching the other games around the league, where most of the teams are sitting at 2-2. Like, you look around the league, besides the Chiefs and besides the Seahawks and besides the Vikings, nobody else is undefeated. Everybody is kind of having these random losses, these upsets. But watching the teams that have beat our team and then how bad they look against other teams that aren't that much better. Like
You mean like the Jets?
Yeah, it's just, it makes us look so much worse.
Well, that was so great, that Jets loss. But yes, you're right. And I would say this as well. The watching the BC football team is my whole life. You would watch BC at noon, and then at 3:30 you'd put on CBS and you'd see Alabama, and you'd be like, this isn't even the same sport. Watching the Patriots offense and every other offense in the NFL, it's like watching those god-awful BC teams where a completed pass is cause for celebration.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The way I look at it, I blame Robert not for the fact that he didn't want to spend money, because we know they went after Brandon Ayuk. I blame him for hiring Elliot Wolf and putting Elliot Wolf in the position of not saying we need to do something with the offensive line, or saying, you know what, we don't like what's available out there in the offensive line, so we're just going to kind of go, like, you know, to the flea market shopping for a couple offensive linemen, because we don't really think there's anything worth spending money on in the O-line. I blame him.
Wait, but who hired Elliot Wolf?
That's what I said. I blame Robert for hiring Elliot Wolf.
So you think Elliot Wolf didn't want to spend money this offseason?
I think that Elliot Wolf got to a position, and they kind of said this a little bit when it happened with the Calvin Ridley thing, if you listen closely, where they kind of said, we like him, but we don't think he's worth that type of money. Now they were,
Calvin Ridley was at the end of the offseason.
No.
You had the entire offseason to build the offensive line.
Yes, and I think what they did, or what Elliot Wolf did in the with the offensive line, I don't think he felt like there was guys out there worth spending money on, so they cheaped out, because we know they were willing to spend money on, because they were willing to make Brandon Ayuk the highest paid wide receiver, or give him, what, $85 million?
Just because I put my hand on my wallet when the bill comes doesn't mean I'm willing to spend money.
Well, no,
I'm right here, Curtis.
But that's all we
am right here.
That's all we can go on.
We go on what they actually spent, not who they reportedly wanted to spend.
No, but what I'm saying is we can only go on that they were that they had the best offer out there for Ayuk.
I don't care about that at all. I really don't. I think that the way this team built their roster this offseason was
an Elliot Wolf misappropriation of being to evaluate talent out there. And I think Elliot Wolf said, we are not going after, we don't think there is any top tier offensive lineman. That's why they went after the kid. Who was the kid that they, the one free agent they went after? Like, basically they were shopping in the bargain bin when it came to O-linemen.
But Curtis is right. It's really, and I understand your question, and we can talk about it all morning. It's on the owner. I mean, I don't think it's on anybody else.
Well, that's why I said for hiring Elliot Wolf.
Well,
but he also is the decider. I don't care what you say.
There's no more silos.
Who signs the check.
Right.
Like, it is all on Robert Kraft. And it can't be on Robert Kraft when things are going well and not when...
I don't know what you guys want. You either want an owner that stays out of it, or you want an owner that gets his nose in it. So if Robert says...
No, I want an owner that puts a lot of money into the roster.
Right, but if an owner says, hey, I'm hiring you to go out there and get players, and then this GM, Elliot Wolf, goes, well, you know what? There's no one really worth spending on in the offensive line market. We're going to kind of... You know, we're going to go the lower route of signing guys in that effect. The owner is basically like, okay, I'm taking what you're telling me and going with it. You want the owner to come down and go, no, we need to be signing this guy, that guy?
I want there to be a difference when signing guys compared to the Bill Belichick approach, because that's what Kraft told us it would be.
And
it would be different than what we've seen in the past. Things were going to be different around here, and I haven't seen any difference.
And I would also add that I hate when powerful people act like they are powerless. And Robert Kraft would have you believe that he's the most powerful owner in all of the NFL. Yet, when it comes to his roster, he's taking orders from Elliot effing Wolf? Give me a break.
So is he doing then?
The product is unwatchable.
It's awful. It's a disgrace.
And I would imagine that come Sunday, I mean, I guess the weather's going to be great. And I mean, it's NFL football on a Sunday, so there will be some people here, but... I can't imagine after that what you saw yesterday on the heels of what you saw Thursday night, the prior against the Jets, and short of Jerod Mayo coming on this show at 9:30 this morning and saying that Drake May is the starter, that there are going to be an awful lot of people here against the Dolphins on Sunday. I mean, it's unwatchable.
I was in Southie last night, and I saw people out and about like there was nothing going on in the world. The Patriots have made their team disappear, and I don't begrudge anybody turning this team off. What you saw yesterday was the end result of an offseason where your organization said we were starting a new day, building the foundation of the next long dynastic run, we all hoped. What's the foundation of a football team?
I would say it's your quarterback.
I would say it's the offensive line
because
you need to protect everything. It is the most important. The two lines in the NFL protect the most important thing. So how do you conduct a rebuild if you don't have a foundation? And I don't care what they say, Wiggy. I don't disagree with what you're saying, that Elliott Wolf probably thought people were going to be overpaid and Heim Bloom was stuck to numbers in baseball. Maybe that's what he's doing. On May 10th, you looked at this offensive line and you said, that's not an NFL-ready offensive line. You had ample time and opportunity.
Right, but that's on Elliott Wolf. You know why I put it on him?
I put it on the guy that hired him.
That's why I said, I blame Robert Kraft for hiring Elliott Wolf, because I don't think Elliott Wolf is good enough. And here's the reason why I know that it's on Elliott Wolf. When you look at free agency, I mean, not free agency, but when you look at the quarterback situation, they had a couple opportunities, whether it was to go get Russell Wilson, whether or not you like him or not, whether it was to go get Justin Fields.
That's right.
What did they do?
Lamar Jackson.
No. I'm just talking about those lower-level backup quarterbacks.
They had the opportunity.
What did they do? They went out and got Jacoby Brissett. Where did Jacoby Brissett come from?
The bargain bin.
Where did he come from? He came from Cleveland.
Alex
Van Pelt, he had a relationship with. Who has a relationship with Alex Van Pelt? Elliott Wolf. So Elliott Wolf is building this offense around guys that him and Van Pelt are looking at. Because when you looked at the free agent quarterback market, you could have went out and got Flacco. You could have tried to go get Russell Wilson.
Gardner Minshew.
You could have. There was a number of guys that were better than Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
But because Elliott Wolf empowered Alex Van Pelt, they brought in Cleveland guys. So when I look at this, I blame Kraft for hiring him, because I think Elliott Wolf goes, hey, Robert, there's no one really worth spending money on in the offensive line area, but we're going to sign a few of these lower-level guys, and I put the O-line problems at the foot of him. That's where I blame Robert. I don't blame Robert for not spending the money, because you can't tell me all these rumors and all these people that know were like the Patriots were willing to spend more money for Brandon Ayuk.
But in the actual free agency, I'm not talking about August.
Okay.
I'm talking about over the course
March,
of the NFL free
March
agency.
March and April.
Did you ever hear the Patriots in on number one level caliber players across the NFL?
No.
They were never engaged.
No.
Well, just the Calvin Ridley stuff. And then they came on and said, well, you know, Jerod Mayo came on and said, we like Calvin Ridley, or there's guys out there, but maybe we don't feel like this guy is worth that type of money.
Well,
That's their evaluation.
And to be clear on this argument, when you refer to Robert Kraft hiring Elliott Wolf, you mean elevating Elliott Wolf.
He's been here
for 2 years.
Right.
Bill actually hired him.
Right. I would say I actually respect Elliott Wolf for this. He's hired a coaching staff where he won't have to replace anyone when they take a head coaching job elsewhere.
Well,
bit of a cold, Wiggy?
No.
Oh, you sound a little bit.
He's worked up this morning.
Yeah, coach is
fired up this
morning.
Well,
this team sucks. Yeah. I was at the Daily Catch watching the game with some friends, and in the third quarter.
Chime ding. Ding, on
ding
the
it up, Sean.
Ding it up.
I don't eat seafood.
I know. What you eat?
Ding it up. Ding it up.
I just had a Caesar salad.
Oh, good man.
Then, you love Caesar salad.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I go to seafood restaurants.
You know there's anchovies sometimes in those.
Yeah, but I make sure they don't put them on.
No anchovies,
but it was like after the big catch or the interception by Jabril Peppers, somebody was like, yeah, can you change this game and put the Kansas City game on? So, I mean, I wasn't fighting it. I was like, all right, let's watch the Kansas City game.
Well, it's a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium. And a lot to get to on the show this morning, including our leads coming up in just about 10 minutes at around 6:25. And then they set it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Courtney with the news coming up at 7:30 this morning. That includes the dumbest of the day and why the pesky hurricane over the weekend almost got in the way of content-seeking weather influencers. And then we'll get to Boomer Esiason at 8 this morning.
Boomer.
And talk to Boomer about the disaster that is the, I guess, perhaps the worst team in the NFL right now. Your New
Boomer!
England Patriots. And then Gerard Mayo will be here with us at Gillette at 9:30 this morning. So if you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. And here she is with what is trending first thing this morning, our very own Courtney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox end the season with a win 3-1 the final from Fenway Park, but no one is really talking about that this morning. They're all talking about this.
It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and it leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it, rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive. And just when you need it most, it stops and summer is gone. Another season is gone. My 42 years here have gone so quickly. But now it's time to say goodbye to Red Sox Nation. At least on a regular basis, and to pass the baton to my good friend, Will Fleming.
Very emotional after 42 years, and Will Fleming very emotional during that.
Did Will cry?
Yes.
I thought I heard that when I was listening.
Right.
Joe Castiglione, 42 years in this godforsaken business. It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
And he deserves all the flowers. I don't know who is going to replace him.
Trying to make that announcement right there?
I thought that as well.
I don't know. Those are big shoes to fill, and we will see. And
that's kind of a shot at me.
I mean, you were interested in the job.
I mean, when summer ends.
Yeah,
I'm never ready.
Yeah, I understand.
You don't want to be the next guy.
Right.
Homemade potato chips, Scott.
You don't wait till they move on from that guy, maybe.
I think Will just moved in. He's just going to sleep there all offseason.
Yeah.
Will would be good.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
The Patriots lose to the Niners 30-13 in San Fran. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 6 times in the loss while completing 19-32 passes for 168 yards, an interception, and a touchdown. We did get handed some injuries in this one. David Andrews, Kyle Duggar, and Caden Wallace all exited the game and did not return. If we have one positive to take away, Joe Sly put the Pats on the board with a 63-yard field goal as time expired in the second quarter. The kick set a new record as the longest field goal in franchise history.
Excellent.
Yep. All right. Stunning.
Yep, beating Steven Gostkowski by a yard.
Yep. Two NFL games tonight for Monday Night Football. We've got Titans at Dolphins at 7:30 and Seahawks at Lions at 8:15. In college, yikes, Wiggy, Georgia fell to Alabama.
Oh, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
I did see some Alabama merch that had Trump on it saying they're eating the dogs.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
What a football game that was.
Oh, man.
That was an awesome football game.
Yeah, I was out at Sabre and I was kind of catching it. I wasn't at home.
Did you call Greg?
Yeah, Greg hooked me up with it. I wasn't able to see it, and it was like, I looked back, and at one point it was like 30-3, and I was like, man, what the hell happened in this one?
Yeah.
And then I ended up at another spot, God forbid I say the name of it, Mastro's. And
that's two.
And next thing I know, it's 30-15. It's 30-21, I believe it went to. And then it was 30-21, and next thing you know, boom, here come Georgia, and they go up, and then the 17-year-old wide receiver.
Ryan Williams,
woo!
17 years old. If you just, and it's most likely to happen, If the Patriots stink like they do for another couple years, you can get him as a 19-year-old, Curtis.
Awesome.
Man, and then that was it. And then Carson Beck threw an interception in the end zone, which basically sealed the deal.
But that first long pass to him where he tipped it to himself.
Yeah.
And then the game winner.
Right.
That move.
Oh, that was sick.
It was all world.
And the broadcast was so great. I loved the Dave Matthews, Nick Saban intro to the game. I've never been to a big SEC game. That looks like something that's
pretty cool.
Be done.
Yeah, pretty cool. Great.
41-34 was the final in Tuscaloosa. That drops Wiggy's Dogs to 5 this week in AP's top 25. And BC had a scary one on Saturday. They pulled it off 21-20 against Western Kentucky without Tom Castellanos. Transfer Grayson James was in for Castellanos. BC is now 4-1 on the season. No real update on when Castellanos is expected to be back.
Another game BC loses every other year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, we were talking last week. You know Western Kentucky, what their mascot is?
The Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers.
I had a whole one-liner ready to go.
Oh.
You guys know what the Western Kentucky mascot is?
No.
The Lindsays.
Oh. Oh.
Curtis.
Jeez.
All right. Oh, thank you.
No.
Jeez. All right. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
that was good.
We kind of paused for a minute waiting for.
That's true. It's on me. We'll do it again at 8.
And I wish I had gone with my one report over the weekend.
I
couldn't get that second source locked down. So.
Courtney did have that first, the Tommy Castellanos out.
We got that. Oh, yeah, be careful with
that. I know,
that
I didn't. Yeah. I stayed out. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you. 53 degrees, cloudy skies. Going to be cloudy in the afternoon, a high around 70.
Well, it is a miserable morning to be a Patriots fan, and we will let you talk it out all morning long. Get it out. Get the anger out. Get the frustration out. We'll talk to the head coach of the New England Patriots here at Gillette Stadium at 9:30 on a Patriots Monday at WEEI. Well, it is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined at 8 by Boomer Esiason, and we'll break down that horrific loss yesterday for your New England Patriots and the rest of the NFL with Boomer at 8, and then we will talk with Gerard Mayo here at 9:30. This is Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just want to chime in saying we already knew where the Pats were before the season started. We watched game one. We got kind of pleasantly surprised. But then from there on, we knew we were in trouble. And here's the deal, man. We always have been asking for an offensive line. 4 years ago, I asked for bulldozers and guys with athletic ability on the line so they can move people for the running back and get the wide receivers time to catch a ball. But you know what? This product they have right now is horrible. Where, you know what? You like watching the NFL, but you know what? You got to watch other teams now instead, unfortunately. No. And lastly, I want to say one thing about Mayo. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you have to pick another. You have to pick another team. I mean, you got to root for somebody else. Have you chosen one, Tim?
Yeah, you know what? I've watched a few. I just like seeing a good product. Bottom line, I'm a football guy. I played football. I was an offensive guy. But I want to talk about Mayo 1 second.
Yeah.
Mayo's at a point right now where he can't do nothing. I truly believe he can't even put that quarterback, one of the two quarterbacks that are possible, to even see what they look like. That's the sad thing. I don't know what Kraft's done, but Kraft has definitely got the wrong guys in the spot.
All right. Thank you. Gerard Mayo, we'll talk to him at 9:30, mm-hmm. and he's a great interview.
Right.
And, I'm assuming that he said he was going to watch film the whole flight home, and I am assuming that upon watching film, he'll see the same thing that the rest of us saw. But he'll come in here and say that I'm guessing that Jacoby Brissett is your starter again this week. And
so annoying. What is he seeing on film that the rest of us are not seeing?
You played the game, so you know reads better than I know reads. That pick six, I don't know. Pop Douglas is wide open.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand throwing that football. I don't understand what we're doing with Jacoby Brissett, expecting that he's going to help you win football games more so than what you may have in Drake May.
And the thing is, when people go, well, he's not ready. He's not ready to make reads, or he's not ready to do this.
Was Jaden Daniels ready?
No, listen, I agree. My thing is...
We're losing anyway.
No, but my thing is
I just
Jacoby
really
Brissett's not, like, doing the right
thing.
So if he's not doing the right things, well, why wouldn't you throw a guy in that has better talent, that has a higher ceiling, better skill set? Now, is the offensive line struggling? Yes. But there were maybe three sacks that he had where him holding on to the ball too long, or his inability to just say, you know what, I'm going to tuck it and run.
I mean, he was sacked four times in the first half. There's just – the problem is that this whole argument about Drake May getting killed because of how horrendous the offensive line is may have just gotten stronger over this weekend. Like, it may have had the opposite effect. Like, I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm like, great, there's absolutely no way that Jerod Mayo is not going to walk in here on Monday morning and say Drake May is our starter. But they may look at it the exact opposite way. They may say, you know what? At this point, forget about it. We're going to get the kid killed. We're going to ruin him as an NFL quarterback if he's in these games, getting destroyed, scrambling for his life. They may look at it that way.
I don't think Jerod does, though. I think if it was up to Jerod, he'd be pulling Jacoby during that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He put him in the Jets game. He didn't play him at all yesterday.
Well, what happened pregame, Greg? I'll tell you. Ian Rappaport reported that Drake May is nowhere near the football field. The only reason Robert Kraft, I believe, leaks that to Ian Rappaport, or Jonathan, more likely, I don't know, I'm just guessing, leaks that to Ian Rappaport is to tell Jerod Mayo in no uncertain terms, this isn't up to you, it's up to us. It reminds me of last year when Bill and Robert were fighting back and forth about Mac Jones and dueling reports from Ian Rappaport. That is not a functional football team. I was told the silos were gone, that this was a collaborative approach. Then why are you leaking that pregame to Ian Rappaport?
Why would Kraft not, in your theory, why does Kraft not want to play Drake May?
Because he will, the guy that he hired, Elliot Wolf,
right,
will be further embarrassed when the third overall pick goes down with the season-ending injury because they didn't create an offensive line around him and they didn't put any money into offensive weapons surrounding the quarterback other than Osborne, the second coming of Randy Moss. Awful offseason up and down. And the worst part about it is that they sit there now and they're telling their head coach, who wants to play Drake May, you can't. And I thought the whole point of Jerod Mayo was that this was going to finally be an organization that from top to bottom was going in the same direction. And we're not even to the bye yet. And it's clearly they are not.
See, I think you made a really good point on Saturday during the award-winning Curtis and Ken show.
Thank you. Ken sucks.
Which I was listening to the whole entire way up to Lake Winnipesaukee.
I'm kidding, Ken. I love you.
And that is that they went into this season maybe thinking that Bill was going to have a job elsewhere and would be paid by somebody else.
People don't understand that, Greg. They think it's different than the salary cap. There's a budget for the football operation.
Doesn't matter salary, because people were texting you and saying, Curtis, coach's salary has nothing to do with salary cap. Doesn't matter. You're running a business, and you think you're going to be able to avoid $25 million or whatever the number is, and then suddenly you're not, because Bill doesn't land somewhere else.
Right.
That you don't. You're not going to spend that money. I think that's a great point.
So then you think that they weren't in on Ayuk then?
They could be in on Ayuk and still spend $50 more million. This roster wasn't a player or two away.
No, I know that. I know that. But if your theory is they don't want to spend money on the offensive line because they're paying Bill,
right,
then the whole
– I just look at the end result. I don't care who they called or who they texted or who they flirted with.
But I'm asking you, then you believe all of that stuff where there were reports out there that the Patriots made Brandon Ayuk the highest offer.
Smoke and mirrors.
You'd believe that was false.
They knew he was never coming here.
So you believe that was false.
Right. I believe they knew he was never coming here.
So you believe they never even made him that offer?
No, they could make any offer they want. Just like, you know, Greg could walk up to, you know, Bar Raffaelli prior to Lynn's and say, hey,
yeah, but if you make an offer,
he's not going to say yes.
But if, you make an offer.
Wait, interesting poll with Bar Raffaelli.
I don't know why that popped in my head. Very attractive woman.
Yes, but not really a super popular supermodel at this point.
Okay, well, you know, maybe we're looking, the Patriots look for diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, like you would have gone M-Rot.
Yeah, I think Emily Ratajkowski would be my choice.
But there's
if I were not taken.
Delta Burke, more age appropriate.
But there's always a chance, Greg, if you make that offer or you make that move, there's a chance they might say yes.
Right. So they were happy if they, I mean, they. I guess they maybe it would have happened, but they knew it wasn't going to happen. And the way in which they built this roster has been with $30 million. They thought, I think when Gerard Mayo sat in here and said, we're going to burn some cash, he thought they were going to, because they all thought Bill was going to go somewhere else. And the same people that say that Bill's salary has nothing to do with it were all the ones saying last year they got a jumbotron for $200 million instead of actually signing players.
It's
all
cash. Ready to burn some cash.
Gerard Mayo will join us here at Gillette at 9:30. This is Mike from Florida. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. What's up? Happy Monday, I guess.
Not really, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, not at all. But so I've been on everyone's pretty much on the show's side when it comes to why not just start the kid. He's going to eventually have to, like, figure it out at some point. But I'm starting to see something that I don't think I expected this way. But when I'm watching this team, you guys keep comparing him and saying, you know, all these other rookie quarterbacks. You can't compare him in the situation, not necessarily him, but you can't compare the situation to these other teams with rookie quarterbacks, because this offensive line, the offense in general, is so abysmal that when it comes to quarterback and developing a quarterback, I don't know if Gerard Mayo's thinking, you know what, the most important thing when it comes to developing a young quarterback is, you know, timing and getting him acclimated to, you know, real life football. But it's so bad that it's like you almost don't want to hurt him by putting him in a situation that is so bad and not common to the rest of the NFL. You know, it's almost like just keep the kid on the sideline until we figure out how to make this work in any way, shape, or form. It is not working at all.
Yeah.
So, no, so then you're saying sit him all year.
What? Go, Wiggy?
Then explain to me why people say Mike and other people will put him in week 14 or week 15. So
I don't think they want to do that, Wiggy.
No.
It's almost like they want to sit him the whole season until they can get a better draft pick next year. I agree with you. It's a ridiculous way to look at things. But they really dropped the ball when it came to putting some minor pieces in place to have this kid successful.
But right, here's the
Mike,
thing
thank
that,
you.
That makes
thank
no
you.
Sense, Greg. If he gets in week 16, and that's where he begins, and he blows out his knee, he's out next year entirely.
Right.
If he comes in now and plays, and he gets hurt in a couple weeks, he can actually be ready to go next year. So you might even delay it by 2 years if you wait for him to get hurt at the end of the year.
I don't think it is correct, but my fear is that they are sitting here this morning and saying, well, you know, we lost David Andrews, so now there's no chance that we can get him in there until, you know, end of the season.
So are they going to do a refund of all the season ticket holders that have to watch this product?
I don't know. I don't know where you go to get your money back, Curtis. I don't know.
I don't know how you say we're doing a rebuild, but you can't even build anything all year. What are you building? What are you building this year?
When you're
what is sustainable that you're going to have for the future that you're building right now?
And your third overall pick, the guy that you want to be your future, you're basically saying we're sitting him all year because we're afraid if we play him, the offensive line stinks, and he's going to get hurt. But Curtis is right. If you wait till the end of the year and he gets hurt at the end of the year, then see you later. He's done for the majority of next year. At least if something was to happen at the beginning of the year, you potentially could get him back the beginning of next season. But if you're going into it with the mindset of we're afraid to play a guy because he's going to get hurt, then why even pick that guy?
The two arguments that you hear are either he is going to get hurt physically or he's going to be destroyed mentally.
The only
those are the two arguments that have started to be floated about.
Right, but the only way you get hurt mentally, Greg, in any sport, in anything you do, when your employer doesn't show confidence in you. That's what hurt Mac Jones. Mac Jones had a good rookie year, but then his second year, his employer, Bill Belichick, and Matt Patricia, after they heard that he went talking behind their back, showed no confidence in him at all. If Gerard Mayo puts him in there and Alex Van Pelt put him in there and they're saying to him week in and week out, hey, don't worry about it. You're our guy. We know you threw a couple interceptions, but we are sticking with you. That will mentally give him the confidence he needs to not worry that, okay, they're losing faith in me.
And they aren't going to flip a switch and this team be unbelievable. So I don't want a quarterback right now that can be easily ruined mentally, because it might take a bit for them to all get back to greatness. Yeah. It's going to take a few years. It's going to take a more than just, you know, the switch at quarterback for them to be back at the top. So I want to know right now, instead of wasting a full year under Jacoby Brissett, who we know is not the future of this team, if Drake May can handle the pressure.
Yeah. That's the only time you get ruined mentally is when your coaching staff and your coaches don't show you the confidence verbally on the way that they're coaching. That's the only way you get ruined.
And the only reason we're here, Greg, is because Elliott Wolf is covering his ass. He didn't do a good enough job building an offensive line to protect the franchise quarterback. So he's protecting himself, not Drake May. Elliott Wolf is doing this to save his own job, not to prepare Drake May properly for the NFL.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about on a Patriots Monday. We are going to get to our leads next, I promise. So leads from Shime and from Curtis and from Courtney and from Wiggy all coming up next. And that means that a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports will follow. And then we will get to Boomer Esiason at 8 and Gerard Mayo with us at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium here on WEEI.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
John's good one this morning. That is Steely Dan and Do It Again. And I assume that relates to your lead this morning with the New England Patriots. I'm just guessing, Sean.
Great call by you, Greg. I was going to play this whole audio of Kevin O'Connell talking about young quarterbacks and organizations ruining them, and I can't do it. Like, I don't have the energy. Like, it's just, I'm already sick and tired of it. I thought this was supposed to be different. I thought the whole point of all of this was so that this would be different. We would start again. We would start fresh. We wouldn't have the toxicity that was the end of the Belichick era, and this would all be different. And instead, it's just a pile of horse manure. Like, it's just horrendous. I'm sitting there just offended by what I was watching, and at the same time, I couldn't turn it off. It was miserable. It was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. At least when Mac Jones was a quarterback, I hated him so much that I got enjoyment out of him being bad.
Oh,
with this, I'm just miserable. I'm wallowing in my own sadness. And, like, it's just depressing. What are we doing? Insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. We are doing the same thing every week over and over again, expecting a different result. And instead, Jacoby Brissett sits there in the pocket, holding onto the football, completely missing wide open receivers 10 yards down the field, rolling out of the pocket, still missing wide open receivers, and instead just throwing it right into the face of Fred Warner. I'm over it. I'm done. I can't stand it. I'm sorry. I'm through with it.
Well, I mean, you that game with the Jets is horrific. And so you're expecting that maybe new coach, the vibe is different, that you got guys who are able to come out and at least be in that football game yesterday, and they never were.
The game started, and if I were walking to Gillette, I just would have turned around if the game was at home and just said, all right, I'm going to go home, have some lunch.
Yeah,
I mean, it is staggeringly pathetic is the way I would describe it. It's even though I thought they were going to lose, there wasn't a shred of me that thought they were going to win that game yesterday.
I was shocked.
But weren't you looking at the – I think we were talking about it on the show – looking at the 10.5 number and being like, all right, I mean, I don't think they'll beat them by 10.5. So I thought they would be, at some point, be in that game a little bit.
The first play of the entire thing, though, when Ramondre got absolutely stuffed, like the first play, I was like, yeah, this is going to be an absolute blowout.
But defensively, they held them to 2 field goals.
Yeah. The defense was...
I'm saying in the beginning, Greg. In the beginning, your defense did a good enough job to holding them to 2 field goals.
They couldn't keep Brock Purdy in the pocket at all.
Right.
Purdy looks like the second coming of Johnny Unitas.
Wiggy refuses to give
better than Joe Montana
any kind of credit whatsoever. But the defense could not contain him at all.
No, Wiggy. I'm not saying that. But you asked, was this game close at any point? Early in the game, defensively, you were able to keep them to 2 field goals. You just have no offense. When you looked at Brock Purdy's numbers, at one point in time, he had like 222 yards passing. But there was a giant play you gave up to Deebo Samuel where he's running free down the sideline.
Yeah.
The problem with this is you have no offense to be able to at least stand in there and maybe go punch for punch. When a team, because you look at that game, your offense gives you nothing. Your defense says, okay, they move the ball, we hold them to a field goal. We turn the ball over, we hold them to a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think that was twice in the red zone early in that game that they held them.
No, yeah, it would have been a blowout if not for that. The defense gave you an opportunity, but I would also say you make it 20-10.
Yes.
You finally have a game, and then boom, boom, boom. 27-10 game over.
Scheim does sound worked up this morning, and I just want to say we know the real reason is it was another swing and miss for what he gave as a lock bet on Friday.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, unfortunately. We're 0-3 on Scheim bets.
What was the bet again?
It was the Bills.
I picked the Bills. That was. Yeah. I don't know why I'm betting against Lamar Jackson the regular season. That was a mistake.
That was a close one, though, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, the Bills lost that.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
And just let the record show, I have made one bet on the Ken and Curtis show. Nailed it. Notre Dame. I said lock of the year.
Yes. You also picked the Patriots to beat the Seahawks.
Hey, we're not talking about that, though,
no,
Scheim.
Nope. And I did not get my PhD in betting.
Scheim, thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. You know, what was the bedrock of this organization for 20 years? It was 3 words. They echoed throughout the building.
Do your job.
Do your job. And I sit here today and I watch... as the man that owns the organization has elected not to. And he sits back and makes sure that high chair gets to wherever they're going, because God forbid you're at the same level as everybody else you're seated with. And there's really one thing that you can do as an owner beyond anything else to ensure some semblance of competition and ability to win some games. That's money. It's just money. And for 2 decades, you were fooled into believing you were better than you were, because the guy at the most important position elevated those around him. And right now, you are too afraid to see if the guy you just took can do that same thing, because the person you hired to build your roster failed to build a line to protect him. So you sit here today, and the season's over. It's not even October. It's not October. The season is over.
Oh, that rhymed.
1-3, 4 straight years. Robert Kraft has one thing he can do, and that is invest in this team. Because all the goodwill, the generation of winning, nobody sits at home and goes, you know who was really behind that? It was Robert Kraft. People say Bill. People say Tom. We can do that for years.
Yeah.
I know one person it was not. Robert Kraft.
And so when it comes to the Patriot way, it's not just plug and play. You can't just insert people in and get the same result.
And if I'm the Chiefs, I watch this. If I'm the Hunt family, I go, we need to do whatever we can to keep Mahomes and Andy Reid together for as long as we can, because when they're gone, it's over.
All right, Curtis, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We are at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason coming up in 1 hour, and then Gerard Mayo with us at 9:30. When we come back, we'll get to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead.